the book of Matthew. One of the things that we see here is that Jesus had just left the Garden of Eden because they wanted to get him away, because he had rebuked the demons that were in the two men, went into the swines, and the swines ran and drowned, and they said they couldn't recognize that two folk were saved. They were thinking about their prophets drowning in the water, that they just wanted Jesus to get away from them. But you know what that also tells me? For every person that wants you to get away from them, there's somebody who wants to embrace you. You see, because as he left that area and when he got to the other side to Capernaum, as he was getting off the boat, word got out that Jesus is back. And don't you know that they were flooding him and coming to see him? And what amazed Jesus is when he saw a few people carrying a man on a bed who was paralyzed. And what I want us to see here in verse number 2, look at this with me one more time. And he says, and just then some people were carrying a paralyzed man lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their what?
Faith.
I got to stop right there.
Yeah.
How does Jesus see our faith? We have to understand, a lot of folk can talk about they have faith. But how many folk are able to see your faith? Now, what Jesus saw is no different than what we see. So what is happening here is that nobody made these individuals bring this paralyzed man to Jesus. They brought him there because they cared about him. They brought him because they knew the power that Jesus had, the authority that Jesus had. So since they knew all of this, they said, if we take this man to Jesus, we believe he's going to heal him. We believe if we take him to Jesus, it don't matter how he gets there, but we're going to get him there. But he ain't going to leave the same way that he came. Why? Because they had the faith to believe that Jesus can do it. There's no difference in us today as it was back then. Are we bringing people to Jesus with the understanding that Jesus has the ability to heal, deliver, and set them free? Do we have the faith in believing in the Lord that things which are impossible with man are possible with God? Do we have the faith that to believe that no matter the person's situation, circumstances, or predicament, if we get them to Jesus, that Jesus can and will make a difference in their lives? You see, but there are too many times we look at folks and say, I guess you're going to just end up just the way you are. Do you care about them? But bringing the story back, what is interesting is through Jesus seeing their faith through their actions, what he then did was not even deal with them, because they didn't come for Jesus to deal and talk with them. They came for Jesus to heal the one that they brought with them. And what we're seeing is that when Jesus looks at the man, check this out, because this is the head scratch. He says, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Catch this. Some of us are guilty of this today. You see, back during this time, whenever somebody had an affliction, what folk automatically figured is that they have the affliction that they have because they have. Their afflictions were the results of their sin. And could you imagine the number of people that saw this man and right there in his presence talk to one another? I wonder what kind of sins he committed to put him in the situation he's in right now. I just wonder how bad he was. But look at him now. He got just what he deserved. You see, and that's how some folk have talked to us in our lives today. They look at some of the stuff we did. They saw us when we were kicked to the curb. They talked bad about us. They disrespected us. They didn't see us as equals. They didn't see us as human beings. They saw us as somebody in the gutter that we were in because we have sinned. See, my brothers and sisters, this is now what is going on with this man. I want you to understand that before Jesus could do anything for his body, he had to free the man in his mind. You see, because if he had just told him to take his bed and walk, the thing was, the man would have been walking, but still in his mind, he would have still been thinking about the sin he had committed, and will he now get crippled again? You see, but I want you to understand, whether we want to believe it or not, we got some folk who are in church who are able to walk around and move, but they're crippled. They're crippled by the sins that they've committed. They're crippled by the mistakes that they've made. And because of the mistakes that they made, they think that the Lord hasn't forgiven them. And even if he has, they still haven't been able to reconcile and forgive themselves.
That's all, brother. That's all.
Crippled spiritually because of sin. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, there's not one of us in here who has lived a life where we so squeaky clean that you know, you can go back and look at everything and every page and every moment in our lives, and you can see just how perfect we really are. But I'm here to tell you that as soon as you say that, you done told a lie, you just sinned. Because I don't care who you are in this church. I don't care how long you've been in this church. I don't care how many scriptures you can quote. I don't care how the Lord uses you. You are not beneath, you are not above making a mistake, even in the state that you're in right now. And the only reason why we're able to move forward is because of God's grace and mercy. And we recognize that when we make a sin or cause a sin, we confess our sins, and he's faithful and just and will forgive us of all unrighteousness. Not so that we'll go do it again, but so that we will learn from what we have done, so that we can move forward to grow in the grace and knowledge of the one who gave his all for us. And you know why he gave his all for us? Because he cares about you. But Sister Fee, I want you to understand that when you're going and doing a good thing, you would think folk would applaud you for doing a good thing. They would be excited that you're doing a good thing. But don't you know, for every person that's there who's excited about how God is using you, there's always a few lurking, hiding, waiting, looking at you, waiting for you to slip up and make a mistake and come out and pounce on you. Ms. Chavis, this is what the scribes were doing. They weren't there to be supportive of Jesus. They were there lurking, waiting for their opportunity to come out and pounce on him. You see what the scripture says here in verse number 3? It says, then some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. Here you are doing what the Lord has called you to do. And what blaspheming is saying is that is to say that something is of God that is not of God. So in all actuality, what you're saying, that what you're doing is under the authority of God, but God gave you no authority. You know how some folk do. You know what the Lord told me, that this is what I need to do. Now, you know they lying, but you know, understand, but we ain't going to go there. But in this situation, Jesus ain't telling no lies. Jesus has the authority. He has the power. He can do it all. And what we're seeing is that Jesus is seeing this. And then Jesus hears their thoughts. And as he hears their thoughts, he tells us, and he says this. He says, but Jesus perceived in their thoughts and said, why do you think evil in your heart? I got to stop there. You know why I got to stop there? It's because I want you to understand something. When the Lord is calling you to do good, Brother Lionel, I want you to know that the enemy will talk about the good you're doing and try to make a negative out of it to distract you. All he wants to do is get your attention off what God is calling you to do. And when you understand what God is calling you to do, no matter what distractions the enemy sends your way, you will not get off the track that the Lord has laid down for you to go on. And the Lord is giving us a perfect example of what I am talking about, because the Lord is dealing with these individuals, and at the same time, he never loses focus on what he is called to do. So what am I telling you to do today, my brothers and sisters? Don't you dare lose focus. Don't you dare let somebody disrupt what you're doing. Don't you dare let nobody derail you. Don't you dare let nobody cause you to take your attention off the one who's brought you this far. Don't you dare allow anybody to say what you're doing ain't helping somebody else. You know what the Lord has called you to do. You know, and there is evidence of how God is using you and how you are glorifying him in your life. You know what you are doing. So no matter what folks say about you, they can just keep on talking, because I'm going to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. I didn't get this far by myself. I got this far because this is how far the Lord has taken me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody been on the street I'm talking about? I want you to know there's always negativity that's trying to jump on the positivity. But I want you to know the positive is too big for the negative to overtake it. The positive is too strong for the negative to weaken it. The positive is too bright for the darkness of the negativity to overtake it. So what I'm telling you today, my brothers and my sisters, there's always going to be a distractor in your midst. But don't you dare allow the distractor to win in your situation. You keep yourself on those tracks that the Lord has made for you. Check this out. Jesus says to them in verse number 4, why do you think evil in your hearts? You know, the reason why some folk can't see good is because the evil is winning. And it's not that you want to be that way, but it just appears that everything you do comes out wrong. Well, it's time for you to go back and regroup and look at how you started. The question is, did you start with Jesus? Are you staying with Jesus? Are you letting the Lord move you? You see, sometimes we start out with him, but then all of a sudden we think we got it all figured out, and we start doing things our own way. We forgot when the Lord came and got us, we was as drunk as a skunk. We forgot when the Lord came and got us, we was toe up from the flow up. We forgot when the Lord came and got us, we didn't know which way was up. We forgot when the Lord came and got us, everybody else walked by us like we were a piece of furniture. But what we now have done is think that we've arrived and we are in a good place. And yes, you are in a good place, but you can't forget about the one that brought you to the good place, because he's the only one that can keep you in that good place. When you try to get off and go and do it on your own, then I want you to know you are leaving the good place and moving to where God is not, and then all of a sudden evil. Some folks say the most evil folk they met is not on the streets but in the church, and that ain't true about this place, thank you Lord. But the only reason why it ain't true is because we got to continue to make sure and to put ourselves in check. It ain't always about somebody putting you in check. But put yourself in check. Say, Lord, if what I'm doing is the right thing, guide me. If it ain't the right thing, Lord, get me right. And then Jesus goes on to say to them, for which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, stand up and walk. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, stand up. Take your bed and go to your home. Can I let you in on a secret? This brother would not have been able to have this physical healing to work until the spiritual healing in his mind first took place. If Jesus had told him to get up and walk, he wouldn't have moved. He was like, I can't get up and walk. I'm here because of the sins that I have committed. I'm here because I have fallen short of the glory of God, and I don't think God can forgive me. Unfortunately, we have folk in churches that believe that I'm glad I'm just saved, but I've done some bad things in my life and there's no way God can forgive me. But I'm here to tell you that is a lie straight from hell. I don't care what you've done. If you confess it with your mouth, I want you to know that the Lord will heal you and deliver you. If he can take somebody who was a murderer like Moses and use him, if he can take somebody like Paul who was responsible for a lot of people being killed, he can use you. So what I'm here to tell you that these are individuals that had done some of the biggest wrongs, but God still used them. So I want you to look at your neighbor right now, grab him by the hand and say, he can use you. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I don't want you to think that you've done something that's beyond God still using you, because all of us have done some wrong in our lives. So I want you to understand something. Sin is just sin. It doesn't say categorize it this way and categorize it this way. Sin is just sin. Sin is an offense towards God. And no matter what the offense is, it's towards God. But if you confess and you believe in your heart, God will make a difference in your life. And the Lord will forgive you of your sins. I want you to understand right now, by Jesus telling the man that his sins were forgiven, when he told him to stand up, when he told him to stand up, take your bed and go home. You know what that brother did? Do y'all know what that brother did? Do y'all know what that brother did? What did he do, y'all? He grabbed that bed. He said, I'm out. But I want you to understand something. We have to understand this, y'all, that that never would have happened if those few people didn't look at him and say, we care about you. You see, even in our world today, you are running into people who look like they are all right, but they have been paralyzed by sin, incapable of getting to the church on their own. That's why God has blessed you, so that you can reach out to them and share with them. You see, I'm going to tell you how God always reinforces to me that you are doing what I'm calling you to do. Because of the fact that we have a young lady here who is a visitor, who was brought by her friend Dee Dee, and she was trying to get out of it. Dee Dee said, no, I care about you, girl. You coming to church with her. And I'm looking, and I shook hands with Dal, and Dal said, I got one of my homies here with me, and I wanted to bring him to church. And what does that mean? He did that because he cared about him. What is that telling us? When you know that you've got something that has been life-changing for you, who has healed you and has delivered you, who has made a difference in your life, you don't want to keep it to yourself. That's why we got the mandate that we have in our church. We teach one in order to. It is our responsibility, my brothers and my sisters, to go out wherever we are and let folk know, if you don't have a way, I'll take you. Myself. I encourage you, because if you just tell them to come, good chance they ain't, because they're paralyzed by sin. And through being paralyzed by sin, Deacon Faulkner, they'll find all kinds of excuses of why they ain't going to go. They'll find all kinds of excuses because, you know what, I ain't got the right kind of clothes to wear. I ain't got this and I ain't got that. You see, but I look at Darryl. Darryl came in here. He ain't got a suit on. His homie ain't got a suit on. You see, so if they ain't got the attire that you have, guess what? You dress like them. Think about that for a second. Paul said, I've become all things to all people that I might save some. So if you aren't able to meet folk right where they are, then how in the world are you ever going to help anybody? And the reason why you will do that is because you care about them. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you care about people, you recognize that they need Jesus just like you need Jesus. When you understand that how good God has been to you, when you know how far he's brought you, you can't help but be excited about how he can help somebody else. And then when I look at this particular scripture, I can see those individuals that brought this paralyzed man and all the others who were there to see exactly what the Lord has done. Let's go and see how they responded. Because in verse number 8 it says, when the crowd saw it, they were filled with what? Awe. And what did they do, y'all? They what? So what does that tell you? Every time the Lord changes a life, it should cause us to give him the glory. Anytime the Lord takes folk off the path of sin and puts them on the path of righteousness, that's a reason for us to praise the Lord. Whenever the Lord calls me, is calling you to go out and share with somebody else, and you share with them and they come out to church with you, and you see them coming forward to give their lives to Christ, see them coming forward under Christian experience, that's the time the church starts shouting. You know why? Because the Lord could have sent them so many different places. He didn't have to bring them to this place. And since the Lord brought them to this place, isn't that something for us to be excited about? You see, my brothers and my sisters, the Lord wants to know, are you excited about your relationship with him? Because if you ain't excited about your relationship, there's no way you can be excited about anybody else except in Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you see it in the scripture? You see, it's right there. They were in awe because of the fact that God had given authority to a human being. You see, my brothers and sisters, you want to see how the Lord is going to work in our midst? You see, when the Lord sent folk your way, our way, and then they come to this place and embrace the ministry, if you ain't getting excited about it, then the Lord's like, wait a minute, I wonder about your relationship. I'm wondering about how important am I to you? If you can't get excited about what you're seeing me do, then why should I bring anybody else your way? Because you're not going to help them grow because you're not excited about where you are. The question is, do we got folk in here who are excited about their relationship with Christ? Do we have folk in here who are excited about how far the Lord has brought them? Do we have folk in here who are excited about how the Lord has changed your life? Do we have folk in here who are excited that you have a fresh anointing of his spirit in your life? Do we have folk who are excited because where would I be if I didn't have Jesus? Do I have folk who are excited and realize, Lord, if it had not been for you, I wouldn't be in church right now. So I want you to know all of God's people ought to give God some praise because he's been mighty good to us. He's brought us a mighty long way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Is anybody excited about Jesus? See, my brothers and sisters, you can remain standing. We about to shut it down. You can remain standing. I want you to see and understand something. What the Lord wants you and I to be is excited. You see, when you're excited when one or two come, you ain't going to know what to do with yourself when they start coming in fives, tens, and 20. You see, because if you ain't faithful over a few things, how are you going to appreciate God doing something bigger? You see, if you're talking about, well, I'm going to wait till he sent about 5 or 10 at one time to start praising him, then guess what? You're going to be waiting a long time. Because the Lord says if you can't appreciate the 1 or 2 that I send at a time, then you will not really appreciate the 5, 10, 20, and 30 I'm going to send. But I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, since we are a people who know that we care about other folk, we're going to make it our business. That when they come, even if they're not folk who we brought, but when they come forward, we will be just as excited as if we brought them. Because once they come in, guess what? You are as much responsible for them even as much as the person who brought them. But you know what that is telling us, church? If our church is going to continue to be what it is and continue to grow and be empowered and continue to have an impact, then we got to be about evangelism. Evangelism only exists when you care about people. And the only way you'll care about people is because you want them to have what you got. Amen. But if you don't want them to have what you got, then what you got ain't really worth having. Then why are you in church? Christianity is not about us sitting down on Jesus. It's about us standing up and continue to be about our Father's business. It's amazing when, especially when Reverend Rose leads us in worship and we do the welcome, and every now and then we'll have a Sunday where we don't have a visitor. And you know what he says? There's still work to be done. And that is true. Could you imagine if all of us made it our business to bring one person to church every Sunday? Some Sundays you might miss, but if you make it your business to say, my goal is to bring one. And then after I've reached that goal, my goal is to bring five. My goal is to bring 10. You don't know how far God can take it. But you won't know until you step out on faith. Because the truth about a church is like an engine. It needs oil and it needs gas. And don't you know, no matter how much gas you got in it, when that engine is running, it's burning that gas. So what is that saying about us as a church? No matter how good we are and what we're doing, there's always room to grow. There's always room for another. And we want God to use us. And the only way we're going to be used is if we take advantage of the gift of caring that God has given us in this season. So that when we do that, when they come, then Jesus will let them know that their sins are forgiven.